This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
High noon in the District of Columbia. Here's the good news, folks. Every day this week, we're giving away Nats opening day tickets at noon. Caller number 9 right now, 800-636-1067. You win Nats opening day tickets. Thursday, March 27th versus Philly. First 20,000 fans get an opening day t-shirt. For the complete Nats schedule and tickets, visit thefandc.com. Grant and Danny also giving away a pair of opening day tickets at 4 o'clock today. Giving those tickets away every day. Right now is your chance. Now, right now is our chance to get ready for the madness. Our guy Ben Fox joins the program on the Rude Guest Hotline. Ben, what's up, man? How are you?
Doing well, JP. Thanks for having me. It's a great time of year, you know. Gambling, brackets, what else do you want?
Hell yeah, man. Ben is a senior sports betting analyst for Yahoo Sports. And, dude, I was checking out your column, and it's interesting when you think about it from this prism. You wrote that legalized sports betting is now available in 38 states. So this will be the most bet NCAA tournament ever. Legally, certainly. Beyond betting, how much impact do you think I truly think one of the biggest reasons that everybody cares about March Madness is office pools. And, like, everybody, including the guy that's into rock climbing and never watches sports, or the lady who hasn't watched sports since her son was a wrestler in high school, like, everybody gets into the office bracket for tournaments.
100%. I think it's fascinating because it's one of the times of year, right? The Super Bowl being one of the other key ones, I'd say, where everybody is kind of watching the same thing in sports. Apologies to the first couple games of baseball in Tokyo. But everyone is kind of focused on that. The NBA is, you know, the regular season is kind of winding
awful
down before the playoffs.
And it's an awful product.
It hasn't been great the last couple weeks for sure. But I think it's also fascinating because everyone, right, is in these bracket pools. And then, like you said, Jeff from accounting is going to end up winning, and he knows nothing about any of those teams, right? And so it is a little bit, too, a word of caution, I think, with gambling as well, especially on the tournament, is if you build up this bankroll over the year, you probably don't want to blow it all on March Madness on a bunch of teams that you don't know anyone on. And so that's always a word of caution, right? It's like everybody loves High Point. It's like, okay, well, do you know where High Point is? Can you name any players on their team? Do you know their mascot, right? So We tend to love this, and there's the 16 games on Thursday, 16 on Friday. That's all well and good, but I do think it's the number one recommendation I have is you are allowed to bet during the game as well. And I would take, if you haven't seen these teams, you have no idea, watch the games a little bit, see how it plays out the first couple minutes, and then maybe make a play there.
For sure. You got to be responsible over this next week. I mean, if you if you have degenerate tendencies like a certain big-eared radio host might, you gotta play it cool over the first couple of days of the tournament because you got a lot of options, man. Let's talk, though, about some of the stuff you like, dude. You have kind of some betting storylines that, like, the three metrics that you're checking out specifically as you start looking at these games.
Yeah, and so just to clarify, since I'm not this smart, this was from Thomas Cassell, who's at CBS, and kind of a college basketball handicapper that I've spoken with over the years. I think he does a great job. And three of kind of the metrics he was looking at in terms of teams that he likes to back in the tournament, one was offensive rebounding percentage, just because there's going to be some game where you're not hitting shots, right? And so can you also crash the glass? Can you get extra possessions, get fouls, get the other team the bonus, et cetera? One was turnover percentage. He specifically cited Michigan. Obviously, they're a small favorite, I think down to 2.5 over 12 seed UC San Diego. And that's one where, as he said, Michigan isn't going to solve their turnover problems. They were bad in the regular season. They'll probably be bad in the tournament. It's just one of their Achilles heels. So potentially avoiding teams like that. And then free throw percentage, just that travels. Team, I think he cited Gonzaga as one of the teams with the best free throw percentage. In these games, he was specifically citing like conference tournament games and NCAA tournament games. When you're betting on these teams, remember, there is no tomorrow, right? So there's going to get a lot of fouls at the end of games. If the game is in that, you know, 4 to 8 point range, the underdog, whoever is losing, is probably going to keep fouling, try and make the layup, try and make a three, keep fouling. So if you're betting on one of those teams, their ability to make free throws down the stretch is probably going to be a determining factor over whether they win or potentially a favorite, whether they cover.
Yeah, I mean, the free throw stuff is so simple. I remember years back when Derrick Rose was at Memphis and they played Kansas in that final.
No, I lost. Don't get me started on that one, man. I lost my bracket pool because of that.
Well, dude, they couldn't hit a free throw, right? I mean, that's ultimately why they lost that game, and you're still pissed about it however many years later.
Yeah, and look, there's so much in college, right? Unlike the pros, they're 1-1. And how many times do we see somebody miss the front end of a 1-1 and instead of potentially getting 2 points, they get zero, other team comes down, hits a three. Like, college has so much of those momentum swings as well.
Totally, man, totally. So what games do you like then? Kind of, we'll start with just games you like in the first round or two, some opportunities, because, I mean, if you can identify a spot, the key to me is if you can identify a team, a spot you really like, is to look at the money line. Because you're calling, we know there's going to be upsets. They exist in this tournament. And if you can pick your spot, you can make some cash.
For sure. I thought this was kind of fascinating that this year, so last year there were 8, and I always get the higher versus lower seeded teams, right? But, you know, the lower seeded team meaning a higher number, so a 12 over a 5, 13 over a 4, et cetera. There's only 2 lower-seeded teams that are favored this year, which I thought was interesting. And last year, there were 8 in the first round. So something where, again, you always think of those upsets happening potentially. And, like, Colorado State is a small favorite over Memphis. So even if they won, you know, a lot of media outlets would call it an upset. The betting world would not call it an upset. So I think it's interesting there are fewer of those. I think one team, that I know a couple people are looking at is Georgia. There was some sharp money on Gonzaga to open. I think it opened around 4.5. It's gotten up to 6, 6.5 at some places. I think it's at 6 right now in a couple. And a couple people that I spoke with for the article liked Georgia, just feeling that line was inflated a bit. And sometimes we overlook some, you know, the simplest thing, I think, in sometimes these games, right, which is that Georgia has a potential top 5 pick in Asa Newell. And so if they have the best player on the court, and obviously he doesn't get in foul trouble, that's also a major advantage. So just kind of feeling like Gonzaga potentially a little overvalued, one of Mark Few's good teams, maybe not potentially one of his great teams. So that's definitely one. I would say if there were probably 2 popular popular underdogs that people are betting on, Akron, it's certainly one over Arizona that opened at 15.5. Arizona minus 15.5 in a couple books. down to 13.5. And at BetMGM, 90% of the bets right now are on Akron. So that is a popular dog. Drake is another one. They obviously had, I think they were one of the most popular teams last year. They were playing Washington State, ended up losing that game, but that was a team a lot of people liked last year. They're playing Missouri. This line hasn't moved, but the public is all over Drake. With, again, at BetMGM, 85% of the bets on Drake, plus 6.5. So those are two, and then High Point is another one. A ton of, some money line as well, but a ton of spread action on High Point at multiple books as they're facing Purdue. That number has come down as well, so kind of sharps and public on the same side. That opened as high as 10.5, now down to 7.5. So that's generally not good for sports books when the sharps and the public are on the same side. And that's one I think people obviously seeing Purdue last few years having a couple upsets, including as the number one seed. Obviously a lot of turnover, but really, really poor defensively, and High Point being a very good team offensively. A couple people liking the over in that one as well. I think it's 153.5.
Talking with Ben Fox here, the senior sports betting analyst for Yahoo Sports. You can give Ben a follow at BFAWKES22. All right, so that's your like straight up kind of picks for the first round. As you start to fill out brackets and you're starting to have a Final Four and maybe a champion, do you have? I mean, this feels like a really chalky bracket year. Do you have any? I don't know, threes or fours getting to the Final Four.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
So I'm usually a risk-averse person when picking the bracket because I think for a lot of years, you know, you'd pick all these upsets and then it would be some of the higher seeds and you'd go, oh, if I just stuck with, you know, that team, which should be better anyway, I'd have a better chance. Ultimately, it's most likely not going to be four number one seeds in the Final Four. I think it's happened once or twice. So for me, I had... I think Duke, assuming that Cooper Flagg is healthy, I have three different bookmakers. They are the top power-rated team. One bookmaker had them, I think, 3.5 points better than his number two, which was Florida. So I think it's Duke and then everyone else. Others have Florida as a little closer to Duke, and that may be a point or so on a neutral court. But I do think Duke is the top team. I don't have anything super interesting. I had Duke and Auburn in my final with Auburn winning. The kind of, I guess, upset I had was Tennessee coming out of the Midwest, just because I think they have a ton of experience from last season. And I think St. John's is definitely interesting. If there's the hottest team, it's definitely Florida, right? Everybody saw them the last week. Their futures odds have come way, way down from what you could have gotten before the SEC tournament, or certainly during the SEC tournament. So I think, you know, St. John's and Florida, if they meet, that'll be an interesting game. I still had Florida coming out of there. So I was very interesting. I had 3-1 seeds and then Tennessee coming out. I think for me, that's, I I can't really identify a three or, you know, four seed that I love. I think people might have liked Iowa State, but obviously missing their best player for the tournament is a pretty big blow. And then I think for Michigan, again, they're a 2.5-point favorite against the 12 seed. A ton of people, while the public is betting on Michigan to cover that game, there's also a ton of public is betting UC San Diego on the money line. So that's one where, again, can they even get out of the first round, let alone get further? So for me, at least, I'm not seeing a ton of potential upsets there. Same thing with Memphis, right? A 5 seed, they're not even a favorite in their first round game. And Maryland, same thing against Grand Canyon. People like Grand Canyon as a potential first round upset, but I'm not sure about going that far. So a long-winded way of saying my bracket will be fairly boring, but that's generally how I've filled it out in the past.
Let me ask you specifically about Maryland, because I care greatly because I went to college there. There's more action on Grand Canyon than the Terps right now?
So just saying that, I mean, to cover, yeah. I mean, 70% of the bets on Grand Canyon at +10.5. I think a lot of that as well is from last year. And obviously seeing Grand Canyon, they looked, I mean, you saw them in their first round game. You were like, how is this team an underdog? They looked fantastic.
Right.
And obviously not the same team the next season. But right now, 70% of bets, 75% of handle at BetMGM on Grand Canyon. And it's come down a tick, opened to 11.5, down to 10.5. Hasn't moved too much. But I think there's always going to be people taking kind of shots as well at the lower-seeded teams, especially on the money line. And Grand Canyon is one of those, as we've seen, 92% of the bets right now on Grand Canyon money line at +450. So a lot of people just taking a stab, whether that's putting in a parlay, putting in a single bet. I think you'll see people who even bet every single underdog on the money line, figuring if a couple hit, you'll be profitable throughout the first round.
It's interesting. I understand why you'd take that Green Bay money line. Like, I get the enticement of it. I did when I saw that line open at 11, right? I make no bones about it. I'm a biased observer of Maryland basketball. I thought that 11 was high, but when Maryland's right, they could blow anybody out. I mean, they beat the hell out of Illinois in the Big Ten tournament last week. Has the line moved down specifically on that Terps game?
So it's only moved down a point. I think it opened 11.5. And now down to 10.5. I think what's interesting about a lot of these games, and especially when you have kind of a major team against a mid-major, is just seeing kind of how that lower-seeded team reacts, right, coming out. And you typically, it goes one of two ways. One is a Grand Canyon come out, they hit a couple shots, they're pumped up, and all of a sudden, it's 10-4 at the first TV timeout. And the other is the opposite, where Maryland comes out and it's just you can very clearly see they have more talent. They've been through kind of some bigger games. They're more athletic. They face better competition. And you're just, you're holding that ticket +11 and you go, oh, I've made a big mistake. So I think the first couple minutes of a lot of these games can give you a sense of whether kind of that underdog, the stage isn't too big, and also whether they can compete athletically and size-wise with other teams, right? There's certain matchups in previous years, right? Purdue, it's like, do you have anybody who can possibly guard Zach Eadie? And that's a massive thing to see, because he could just get your entire team in foul trouble. Obviously, for Purdue, didn't work out too well a couple times the last few years, but I think those are some of the things, too, with some of those underdogs as well. They tend to have one or two stars, right? And that's the other thing why I like live betting as well. You can see if that star gets in foul trouble, they might really, really struggle because they rely on that guy for 30%, 40% of their offense. That's something I think the more you're paying attention, taking advantage of, and watching the games, it's where you can get some opportunities in game as well.
That's really interesting. This is different. Switch it real quick. I just wanted to ask you this. Do you have odds or any lean on where Aaron Rodgers ends up?
think it's a good question, and this is just me speculating. I think retirement is definitely on the table, as well as other teams, just because at a certain point, if you want to play for a team that doesn't want you, and I think you already saw Cam Hayward come out kind of with that tweet about essentially being sick of waiting for Aaron Rodgers to make a decision, like, we're the Steelers. That's our brand. That should be good enough, right? If you want to come here, great. If not, we're fine. And the Giants is going to be as much or more of a train wreck as the Jets. I guess the good news is he doesn't have to move. I live 10 miles from the stadium or so now. So it would be interesting to go to a bunch of games, but it's not like they're a Super Bowl contender. And ultimately, that's why my Vikings were interesting. I think it would be a terrible move for the Vikings. I'm glad that they kind of publicly have come out and said, we're good for now. And ultimately, he's kind of a bunch of these teams kind of have to wait, which is also tough for those teams, right? Because they're figuring out, hey, what are we doing in the draft? The Steelers are a potential Jackson Dart destination. The Giants could be Shedeur Sanders. It's tough for those teams to figure out what they're doing in terms of a quarterback if they're kind of waiting on Aaron Rodgers, number one. And number two, it's how big of a prize is it? You know, we saw him with the Jets. He got to fire an offensive coordinator. He got to run the system he's always run. He got to bring in Davante Adams and trade draft picks for him. And they had pretty much the same defense. It didn't work out well with that team. So if you're going to a Giants team with a worse offense and a worse defense, arguably a better coaching staff, I think people like Daboll, how well is it going to work out in also a difficult division, much like the AFC East? The NFC East, all of a sudden, you got the Cowboys with a healthy Dak Prescott, the Eagles, and Jaden Daniels, your Commanders, on the rise. That's not an easy division to go into either. So I'm not sure there's a great spot there. And I think at a certain point, like all these players, right, nobody remembers Jerry Rice was on the Seahawks for a season.
Yeah,
they remember him as the 49ers, right, and the greatest wide receiver of all time. Rodgers, it's kind of that thing. If you drag it out here for a couple seasons with some poor performances on random teams, like, is that good for you overall? Or is it good, you know, I'm sure he's got a media career, other aspirations he wants to start. Do you want to just start that sooner rather than going through another season?
The kind of media career he would start would be at, like, Outkick or maybe McAfee. Like, I feel like it'd be a very different area. But Ben, we got a boogie here, man. Thank you very much for making time for us.
Anytime. Appreciate it.
All right. Ben Fox, senior betting analyst for Yahoo Sports. You can give him a follow at BFAWKES22.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. That it's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and, like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.